This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down,
this is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber, and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. I want to say a big thank you to Chris and Cam for a upbeat drive show and the dancing Gary Wilson that usually shimmies along to that music. Thank you, Gary. Tonight, I'm going to be made to feel young again, I hope. We're doing a show on youth and making a difference. So we've got a couple of guests that are coming in, and we're going to see what our young folks are up to and what they're doing to change the world to be a better place. So I'm going to be joined by Harry, that is part of the Gay Straight Alliance, which is a program that is in schools, which is a fabulous initiative. And I'm going to be joined a little bit later by Edith, who is a women's officer at Monash University. But firstly, we've got a man that some of you out there might know. His name is Andy, and he may be associated with this little TV show called Queer Young Thing. Yeah. Welcome. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've got a big, busy studio tonight, haven't we?
It's crowded.
So the reason I've got you in, obviously Queer Young Thing is a whole series about young folks.
Yep.
So just want to have a chat about some of the programs that have happened last week, or was it this week?
We've just done school. We've got Living Healthy coming.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben TV is like Joy. We do gay and lesbian stuff, but we do TV. Queer Young Things, our current series. We've had, it's a 13-week series. 9 have been on and 4 are still to come. What happens is we have a group of youth on every episode who say whatever they like about a topic, and then we have a few experts come on at the end and give some views as well.
Do you vet anything, or are they allowed
to
say anything?
No, they're allowed to say anything. No matter how right or how wrong it is. And there's a couple of things I've thought, oh, okay, I didn't know that was quite how it is, but totally. The whole point of it is it's giving youth a voice. And the topics have been religion, social media, transitioning. So 5 of the episodes have had trans kids on it. Remote, as in living in the country, coming out, depression, anxiety, love, sex and sexual health. Some are very serious.
It's a light-hearted, upbeat kind of program, isn't it?
Yeah, and because the kids are on it, sometimes they really get to the deep parts of the issue, or sometimes they are quite light. So we did school this week, and the biggest issue was sex education classes and not covering queer issues at all.
And we have heard that a lot on a lot of the shows that we've had just with Stand Up Straight, and that's a common theme, that sex ed is just so, for want of a better word, just straight-laced, isn't it?
Yeah, one girl talked about, the teacher said, is there anyone here who's gay? And of course, everyone's silent. And then said, oh, well, we don't have to cover that.
Oh.
So, yeah, can you believe it?
No. Yes, I can believe it, I suppose. So how have you, some of the folks talk about what they would like to have discussed? Did they, the approach?
Yeah, they just said we would like sex education of all types covered and gay sex covered as this is another type of normal, not this is this strange thing.
That's the word, another type of normal. I think that because you hear people say normal as in and only pertains. Correct, that's right, and it's wrong. So what was surprising that came out of that the schools episode? Anything in particular?
Just I guess the view is things are changing, but it's slowly, and the country's still a lot worse than the city. We had a whole range of kids from different backgrounds, but just I guess the school's generally changing, but sex education seems to be the last thing that's being dragged into a queer point of view.
Is it is it the schools that are stopping it, do you think, mainly?
That actually came up, and the kids thought it was, lack of leadership in the the admin and the teachers at the school. Lack of knowledge a little bit too, but mostly lack of leadership, just not saying, we're going to go queer all the way through and implement it.
It's disappointing.
It's really, it's shocking,
really disappointing.
Isn't it?
You know what else is disappointing? I've been very, very remiss in not announcing that I actually have a co-host who happens...
Credit where credit's due, that's fine.
That happens to be my son, Nelson. He's sitting across from me. I'm a bad mother.
That's fine. I still look good, Mum.
So... I really apologise, Nelson.
No, it's fine. It's a very interesting subject matter.
It was. Have you caught any of the Queer Young thing episodes?
No,
Nelson?
I don't have a TV, Mum. Sorry, that's what I go to your house for.
It's on Channel 44, but it's also on our website, benttv.org.au, so you can watch it there.
Noted.
Yes, and coming up this week.
So this week it's Living Healthy. We've got four episodes left. Living Healthy, Love, Sex and Sexual Health, which is a really interesting one, let me tell you. Anxiety and Drugs and Alcohol, which is Matthew Mitchum. And boy, he knows a lot about drugs and alcohol, let me tell you.
How did you decide what programs, what topics?
I brought up a test list and then we did workshops with a group of queer youth saying what's right, what's wrong, what's missing. And we added religion, which we hadn't thought of. I think, and Love and Sex, we expanded to Love, Sex and Sexual Health. So we did sort of the preventative stuff as well.
Yeah. And has there been a favourite episode that you've had?
Genderqueer was pretty mind-blowing for most of us older people who'd only heard of genderqueer, a month or so before. So genderqueer are the trans kids who aren't going all the way. They're somewhere between male and female, and that's where they're staying and they're happy.
Why was that so much of a surprise for you?
Because I just knew nothing about it and had no awareness of it.
So what do we do as older, straight, older people, anybody, what do we do to get more of a broader understanding?
I could watch the show, Queer Young Thing.
What a great idea.
The biggest issue, it was interesting, both on this one and the transgender episode, the kids didn't really talk about how they felt in the wrong body or the procedures. The big issue was how the rest of the society sees them as an outcast.
Perception.
And the mental effect that has on them.
And the stigma around.
Yeah, That was what it was all about.
What I would like to do now, Andy, as well, is introduce our young Harry and I'll put him out of his misery. Hi, Harry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. I know we always say that. But I'm wondering, in sort of connecting into what the program was with Queer Young Thing going to schools, can you tell us a little bit about the Gay Straight Alliance that you're involved with?
Yeah, sure. I go to a Gay Straight Alliance with the local council youth services division. So we meet up once a week and we just discuss gay issues and eat lots of taxpayer-funded food and things like that.
You belong on the radio. You're very good.
Yeah, and it's really great. It really helped me with my things. And I thought there was a real need to do it at my school, so I'm in lots of meetings and jumping through lots of hoops to get it set up with my school. So
when you say that you thought there was a big need at the school, what kind of things were there that you saw that needed addressing or fixing? Or
well, I just talked to my friends and people that I knew that were struggling with some, personal things, and they really saw there was a need for better things at our school, like better sex ed classes, like was mentioned, and just more tolerance and acceptance in the culture.
So when you say more tolerance and more acceptance, does that mean that you were ostracised or were you sort of kept away out of things?
Not really. We got a very good culture, but we saw there were ways that we could be more inclusive of everyone. There is still a bit of not outrageous homophobia, but there was things here and there that were quite... At my school there.
So do you learn things or are you taught things like if you hear homophobic statements or that had to approach somebody that might make kind of a statement like that, do you kind of learn what to do other than punch them in the face?
Well, ironically, I do punch them in the shoulder. But we don't really learn that. We sort of learn that any bullying is bad, but it's not focused on in depth.
Yeah. So is there any steps that you had to take to... like those first steps to getting it into your school to get this program in?
Well, we have a thing at our school called Learning Mentor, and it's basically a teacher that just helps you with your homework or how you're feeling. And my mentor is the principal. Mm. So I, over a series of weeks, I sort of ground her down and just sort of yelled at her until I got what I want, which was a meeting. And
isn't that all kids' jobs to do that for all their parents and their teachers?
Kids these days,
yeah.
Yeah, and so I had a meeting and then another meeting and a meeting with other people and then getting other people involved. So, but with exams, it's sort of slowing down at the moment.
Was it an interesting relationship to develop with your principal? Did you find that those barriers gradually wore down and wore down? Was she kind of like a bit more of an ally and a friend?
Yeah. We had a really great principal a couple of years ago, but she left and we got this new one and she's great. Mm. But people have always had this sort of thing like, we wish we had... the one before. So I sort of went into it thinking, it might be a bit weird, but over time it's gotten really great.
Yeah. And
can I ask a question? So the Gay Straight Alliance you've got at the school, how many straight kids join and do you have a meeting every month or what happens?
Nothing's happened because there's so much stuff we have to do. So I'm trying to get it as soon as possible, but... Yeah.
So how will it work ultimately? What's your plan?
I thought we could have maybe a meeting every week, and my principal really wants us to take action in the school, like doing events, things like that. So we would plan maybe one a term or something like that, but yeah.
Have you asked the kids at school, either your peers or younger, how old are you, Harry?
I'm 15.
You're 15. So have you asked the other kids what they would like out of this program when it comes to the school?
I've had little conversations with people here and there, but I haven't, sat down with people.
Yeah. Is that something that you'd want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you have like a forum, do you think? Would that be something you could do?
Yeah. I thought it would just be like a really big chat.
And make it fun. Yeah.
So is this the first time that it's happened? Are you actually spearheading this or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my friends, he tried to get the school set up with the Safe Schools Coalition, but... Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hoops and he just eventually gave up. So I'm going to do that, hopefully going to do that as well.
That's good. Is there other stuff happening globally? Because I've heard that, there are similar programs overseas as well.
It's not an original idea. There's a whole...
But this will be the best though, won't it?
Yeah. Of course. There's a whole network in America, and I think, and they're worldwide. Yeah.
So it's good to have a template.
Yeah,
it's good to
it
not
is.
Flying blind.
What's the attitude generally in the student body? How homophobic or how gay supportive are they?
My school's quite tolerant. It's really good. There are obviously some kids that just wreck it for everyone else.
We don't like them,
no,
do we?
No, we don't.
I was going to say something else then. You're going to say something, Harry. What were you going to say?
No, I just thought I should move closer.
You're on a Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. We're just going to go for a short break and come back with the lovely Harry and the equally lovely Andy and lovelier Nelson.
Who's your mama? My mama's Michelle on Stand Up Straight.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you for that surprise.
Just checking you're all awake still.
Everyone's awake now for sure. Mm-hmm. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. I don't know what to say to that. At least you put a smile on everyone's face in studio, Nelson.
Someone wet themselves a little bit.
We are talking about youth and what they're doing to make a difference. We have Harry that's from the Gay Straight Alliance, and we have the young Andy from Queer Young Thing. I've butted him up.
Glad it's radio. Hey, Michelle, I went to Joy's strategy meeting on Saturday, strategy planning meeting,
yes.
And it got a little bit off course once or twice. And your show, Stand Up Straight, got mentioned twice in the meeting.
Don't do that to me.
As how fantastic it is to have a straight-related show support, you know, on a queer station and making connections with the mainstream society. How exciting and fantastic.
Well, don't know what to say when people say stuff like that. That is, I'm extremely flattered, and I'm just doing what I would do if I had a bunch of people at home around the kitchen table or on the, and asking questions and just talking about stuff. And I think I don't want to make this show too highfalutin and political, because that's not me. Nelson's laughing. It's true.
No, look, you're a very smart lady, Michelle. Yeah, you're bridging the gap that needs to be bridged.
Thank you. Mm. And I do appreciate that, Andy.
Cool.
Made me blush.
Cool. I work at Joy, but also Ben TV, but I'm the Queer Film Festival selection committee. And there's a film that might be in the festival, I think, next year, called GBF, and which stands for Gay Best Friend. And it's about at a high school in America. It's a comedy. There are these three really bitchy queens who want to rule the whole school, and they find out there's a gay guy at school, and they all need a GBF, a gay best friend. So they're all like fighting over him to be their token gay friend.
Know what that's like?
The best thing ever. Do you?
It's more of a symbolic title, but yeah.
Is there really?
So are there some people who suddenly like you better because you're gay? Is my question.
Yeah.
Is that right?
There was this one girl. You know, she wasn't the nicest girl. And then
No names.
I came out, and then she was like, "Do you want to get some coffee later?" And I'm like,
she asked you to go shopping?
No, get coffee. Well.
Yeah, that's always, hey, come, I need a new wardrobe. Come style me.
Fashion advice.
Do you guys, okay, Nelson and Harry, do you not like that? Do you feel that that's a bit cliche?
Of course it's cliche. It you know, it takes away from your sense of identity. You have to identify with the stereotype otherwise.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but, you know, I'm not against people liking me.
No.
Yeah, it is a cliche, and it can get a bit annoying. I don't really like shopping that much, but it's not all bad.
So you found that. So have people's opinions of you changed then? I'm a bit off topic, but since coming out, have they changed?
I'm not too sure, because I don't know what they're thinking, but there have been people that have been, you know, more happy to see me, I guess.
Mm. So people's attitudes towards you have changed in general?
Yes.
What about teachers? Has that changed at all? It probably shouldn't.
Well,
but
no, I haven't noticed any change, but there's one teacher at school and he's really lovely. And when I came out, he was just really making me feel good.
Yeah.
Like you're cool, that's great.
Wonderful.
I don't know if he's gay or not, but, you know, it doesn't matter.
But you're right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And yeah, so it was just really nice to have that support from him.
So do you think, would that have perhaps been the impetus for you wanting to bring the program into the school as well? Because maybe you're a bit of a trailblazer and you want to make this journey as, I love that word, as easy as possible for people coming after you as well?
Yeah, it was definitely that. I saw that the support was really nice, and that if other people had that as well, that it would be such a great thing. And I've got quite a good supportive family, but if people didn't have that, it could be quite, you know, devastating.
Yeah, and I think we do forget that, and we're sometimes surrounded by people that have got a lot of support, or we give a lot of support, and whereas there's people out there terribly lonely or that don't have anybody, and maybe the only connection they have might be through a show on a Joy or online or, you know, Queer Young Thing, something like that.
Yep, and even the kids at school who are too scared to join the Gay Straight Alliance, who stay in the closet, their life will still be affected and improved by knowing it exists. And
it'll be visible.
Yeah, just it'll make them think so differently about themselves.
Have you had any trans issues raised at all?
Well, I know of a couple of trans kids at my school.
Yeah.
Quite, you know, still not transitioned. And I don't know a lot about it. And I think that's sort of a failing in me. Not a failing, but I should learn more about it so I can be more, know what I'm doing.
Young man.
With our TV show Queer Young Thing, it came up at universities and schools. Some universities actually do have trans programs and integrate them into everything, but so many just don't even think about it. It's just they do the gay and lesbian thing and think they're fantastic don't even think about the trans.
Why is it that it's like gay, lesbian, and also why do you think that is?
Well, it could be because with sort of sexuality it's different to gender, but it is linked, but maybe people see us as all in one category when we're all quite different.
Absolutely right.
It's also a number. I think there's a lot more gay and lesbian kids than there are trans kids, I think.
Mm, mm. Yeah. And is that a little bit of a pet issue for you? You know, is it something you want to work on a little bit more?
Definitely, yeah. I'm not sure how widespread it is, obviously, but I think it's really important and I would like to change that.
How would you go about facilitating discussion about trans students?
I have no idea.
You would want to know certain things yourself as a person.
Yeah, so I'd educate myself, and then if we had the group started up, we could talk about that more than none time.
Have you had to do any public speaking yet at school?
No.
No?
Thank God.
No? So will it have to be something that you will do?
Well, I'm not too sure, but I think I could do it if I wanted to.
Well, look at this
I'm doing
experience.
It now. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't really like it that much, but...
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, and I think you need to remember that what you're doing is most people wouldn't do, and it's vital for all... Think in the back of your mind, all these kids that may not have a vehicle, now they will have a vehicle. It's also another vehicle. I don't think we discuss this enough, maybe. You're providing a vehicle for straight people to be an ally. And being involved, you know what I mean, as well. It's not just about the GLBTI community
Yeah, because we when I was talking with my principal, we agreed that it wasn't meant to be just a room full of gay students and lesbians and everyone. It was meant to be an inclusive group where we could... take action and improve diversity in different ways as well. So even racism and sexism, if that was an issue at school, we could see that. And
So with regards to the straight students, what's the incentive to get them there?
Fashion and style advice.
See, I didn't want to go down the path, but we all know it, don't we?
So I want to make it really fun as well, because otherwise no one's going to come and it's just going to be really... dull, and you know, these are the problems that we have.
Okay, it can be quite a social group if you market it as such. It can be quite good.
I agree, and it's got to be something that I think where people feel valued as well, and that their opinions are valued as well.
Yeah, that can be missing from class discussions and stuff. The people just take over, and other people don't find their
We have to go for another break and another song, and we're going to be bringing another guest in, so we're going to grab another chair and we're going to keep chatting with Andy and Harry. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, and you're lucky to be listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Oh, thank you, studio audience. That's just beautiful. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Obviously, we're having a horrible, rotten, boring old time tonight. We are talking about youth and how they are making a difference. We're going to introduce somebody else to the microphone. We've got Edith. There's that little voice.
Hello.
Hi, Edith.
Hi.
Edith is luscious.
Luscious.
Okay.
Edith is also the women's officer at Monash Uni. So what is a women's officer?
The women's department is an autonomous department within the student union. So we've got the MSA, and we've got a queer department and a women's department, which acts separately to create sort of a safe space for those two groups. So in the role of the women's officer, Sally, who's the other women's officer, and I... aim to create, we've got a lounge and we make it as safe as possible. We have safer spaces policies, and we basically try and make it as accessible as possible to any female identifying student. And basically it comes down to, if you feel like you belong in the women's department or in the women's lounge, then you can.
So, Edith, what do you mean by safe space? I know that might seem like a simplistic question, but what do you mean by safe space?
So a lot of, if we talk about, say, queer students, a lot of queer students... some of them have a horrible time at high school, but some of them have this sort of friendly little bubble. And when you come out of that little bubble at high school, it can be quite confronting. University can be quite hard. You've got 30,000 students. You've got people with very questionable views sometimes. And it can be really tough, particularly students coming from regional areas. And it's about creating a space and a community where people will understand what you're going through and will be able to support you.
Mm.
And even just to sit down and have a quiet cup of tea.
A quiet cup of tea. Yeah. So what sort of education would you give for people that hadn't had any, any liaising with any sort of queer department in the past?
Well, what happens is each semester the queer department runs a queer week and the women's department run a women's week, and it coincides quite a lot. So we just had our women's and queer week, and we ran lots of workshops during the week. We had trans workshops, we had disability
theory
workshops.
Can I ask, when you say workshops, do you open to everybody, anybody at the university?
Unless it's explicitly said that it's autonomous. So just say we were having a women's only workshop, we would say autonomous, only female identifying students are allowed in. Then it's open to everyone to come. Like we had a trans workshop for Women's Week that was open to everyone, and so many people came, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Open to everyone. So, that's insane. Can you talk a bit about that? When you say, was that, for want of a better word, popular? Was that one of the most popular?
That was one of our most popular workshops. That, and we had one on racism and microaggression, and that was quite popular as well. But that was, it's a little bit terrifying when you open it up to everyone because you're never quite sure who's going to show up and who's going to do what, but it went really well.
And what were some of the highlights?
Of Women's Week?
No, of that
trans workshop. Mm. So Sally Goldner from Trans Victoria is just absolutely amazing.
She is
one of my favourite persons. I wanted to be my, like, cool queer aunt.
Hi, Sally. I'm sure she's listening.
Hi, Sally. And we managed to make her day, which actually made me so happy, and I ended up getting an email from her the next day because someone in the women's lounge made a little sign and put it up saying, love your sisters, not just your sisters, but spelt like love your sisters, not just your C-I-S-T-E-R-S. And it was just so lovely.
Yeah.
And that was probably my absolute favourite thing. But it was everyone just sort of sat around and we asked questions and she answered and no one was like horribly offensive, which was nice. And it was just really good.
And nothing was off limits, I'm taking it. So it was really, really open, frank
really
discussions.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Can I ask something? This is Andy. On Queer Young Thing, we had a university episode and we had some La Trobe kids and it sounded like there's a fantastic program at La Trobe. It was terrific. But we had a trans female to male person from Frankston and it sounded like they were definitely the only queer in the village. And it took them till the final year to make one friend in their course. And there was just no support and no nothing. How much do universities and colleges differ in their queer and trans support particularly?
Well, it can really come down to the university, but also the union. So within our union, we have those autonomous departments that reach out and try and make it so everyone knows that we're there. But a lot of unis don't have a queer department or a women's department, and it can be really hard. And it comes down to the university maybe saying that they want to crack down on these things, which very rarely happens. So it can be really, really hard, and it's really quite dependent on each university, which is not the best thing ever. So
it's an independent variable that you don't want to come across, is it?
No.
But in the way of getting people involved and educated, you guys run something called Rad Sex and Consent Week. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Wow.
So we have Rad Sex and Consent Week. We kind of stole it from Melbourne Uni, actually. We ran it for the first time this year, and we're planning on expanding it and doing it as a cross-campus thing next year. And it's basically the sex ed that you don't get at high school because, as if you were listening earlier in the program, it's a pretty sort of like common thing that comes up that sex ed for queer people, sex ed just as a general thing, not very good, not very comprehensive. So this year we had a week and we had different people come in and they discussed like heaps of different variables surrounding sexuality, sex, intimacy and pleasure and all of that sort of thing. And it was quite comprehensive and it was really well received as well.
Yeah.
So
was it really well attended?
It was really well attended. It was surprising how excited people got when we started advertising for it.
Well, because you're giving people a forum to speak when otherwise they may not be able to.
Yeah.
Really, I think that's probably the key. You're giving them permission to, and I'm gathering that it's fairly open slather, like anything could be discussed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, so that's why.
This is Andy again from Queer Young Thing. We did a love, sex and sexual health episode.
Hi,
and we had some queer youth on who were like all of 21 saying whatever they wanted. And I'm 49 and...
No.
And they said stuff and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord.
Don't look a day over 30.
And I didn't know what a dental dam looked like or how it worked. And I learned so much. And
dental dams for free in the women's lounge.
Yeah. There you go. We had complaints about how much they cost.
Yeah, well, we provide that all for free. We have everything for safer sex and also things like pads and tampons and that sort of thing. We have it for free because it's too expensive and it's sucky. So, yeah, we try and make it so everyone can be safe and everyone can feel included and all of that sort of thing. So,
considering you're autonomous, how does Monash Uni support you and how do they fund you? I mean, it sounds like they are obviously on your side because they've just introduced a new scholarship in your favour, haven't they?
Yeah.
Scholarship?
Yeah. The queer department, not even... there's an amazing guy that works through the MSA that has fought tooth and nail this year, and we've actually got the very first Queer Leaders Scholarship in Australia and quite possibly the Southern Hemisphere, I'm not sure, which starts next year, which is absolutely amazing. And he fought and fought and fought and went through all of the uni bureaucratic academic boards and everything, and it's been approved and it's up on the website. And if you want to come to Monash, check it out.
What are the benefits of the scholarship?
It's a lot of money and it makes life a lot easier.
Oh, we had a money. That's good.
Money's good, yeah.
Are you interested, Harry?
Yes.
We put him on the
Queer Leaders Scholarship
here.
At Monash.
Well, I'm not sure. They really want you to look at courses and stuff, but I'm just like, not.
You're 15, it's fine.
Yeah. You've got lots of time. So how many people, or how would the scholarship be given to someone? Do you have to apply? Do you have to put a proposal together?
Well, this is the first year that it's happening, so I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure if there are any more kinks that need to be worked out, but there's definitely an application process, and it's for leaders, so people who have actively helped and sort of expanded support networks and worked through activism in queer issues. So you definitely need to apply, and it's sort of to celebrate that and hopefully get people in to make Monash even better.
Yay.
So, yeah. Yay.
We're just going to go for a short break.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, everyone. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. We've got a full studio. We're talking youth and making a difference. And we've just been talking with Edith about her role at Monash University. And have you got big plans for next year? Because you've probably nearly wrapped up university for this year.
Yeah, exams are about to hit and everyone's very stressed. We've only got one more thing left for this year, and that's a big end of year party on the 25th. But for next year, there's some pretty big stuff happening. Where Monash is hosting QC next year, Queer Collaborations, which is the big cross-university Australia-wide queer conference that runs for 5 to 7 days, depending on who's organising, and it's like workshops and autonomous caucuses. So people of like sort of different sort of subsections of the queer community can get together and make those networks as well as just a big broad thing. And it's quite exciting and it's running at Monash, which is...
Oh, I was going to say, that was my question. So that's being held in Melbourne?
It's being held at Monash.
How many universities would be involved, do you know?
It fluctuates every year. We normally have about 4 unis from each state, generally. Wow. Northern Territory, not so much, which is a bit sad. But yeah, so it's normally quite a big turnout.
So who decides what is discussed and what's raised at these conferences?
There's an organising committee at Monash at the moment, and we also sort of follow the template, I guess, of the QCs that have come before. So you've got, as I mentioned, the caucuses, and then you've got workshops, and people can submit their workshop ideas to the organising committee, and that'll start happening closer to the date because it'll be around June, July. And going through there, so.
And is there anything like sport or art or poetry or speed dating or?
Andy, or are we talking just in general?
No, I'm fine, just general.
I'm not so sure about speed dating, but people tend to meet anyway because it's a big student thing. As for sort of art and poetry, it really depends on what the workshops are happening and who puts their hand up and asks to facilitate what, because it's very much sort of student input and then facilitated through Monash for next year.
Yeah. Can I just go back to something? We didn't talk all that much about you personally as far as the role that you're in. What motivated you to take on this role? Did you have to be nominated? Did you put your hand up? Do you have to put a submission in, something similarly to what we asked Harry before?
So with the women's department, it sort of... I was elected... Mm-hmm. In a student election for 2014. For 2013, so this year, it sort of fell into my lap a little bit because there's 2 women's officers and one of them had to step back because honours is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I've taken over from Matt from this semester and then I was elected by the student body for next year. So that's sort of how it happened.
It's a big honour.
Yeah, it was really scary. I didn't expect it to happen. Yeah. And It did, and it was very exciting.
What's your biggest challenge, do you think, for next year? I know, big question, I know, but...
So you've got QC for the queer department, and the women's department have a thing called NOWSA, which is the... Oh, God, national something.
That's
like
okay.
National Network Women's Student something, and it's in Perth. And to get enough funding to have people to get to Perth is going to be a big struggle, so we're going to have to start fundraising to make it financially viable for students because Perth is expensive. So that's going to be our big battle for next year. Plus, we're working with the queer department. We'll have Red Sex and Consent running again. We'll have Women's Week. We've got QC to help out with, so... Lots of stuff on next year.
So do you have like a little mini committee or anything that's with you, supporting you? Yeah,
yeah, we have the Women's Affairs Committee, which was also elected by the student body. So we've got a committee of five, and then anyone else can shop for the collective to put in for what they want to see happen. You've got a queer collective and you've got the women's collective, and they work with the officers to suggest what they'd like to see run, basically.
Yeah. As far as local Australian kids, I know the world's changed and probably more kids are coming out earlier and finding it fine at uni, but I guess lots of overseas students who come to Australia would be shocked at the freedom and would be contemplating their queer in the closet sort of position. How are they supported and what services are there?
Well, we don't exactly want to run around being like, hey, are you queer? Come to us. So
we're a sign.
But we try to... It's something that we're also going to push a lot more next year so we can have more visibility on campus, because one of the big sort of barriers is people not knowing that we exist, not knowing that the women's department, not knowing that the queer departments exist. So a thing that we're really going to have to push for is even just little signs being like, this way to the office, this way to the lounge. Yeah. So, we want to make sure that people know that we exist so that we can provide them that support, because we can't foist it on people.
Of course.
So it's a bit of a...
I was going to ask you, Harry, I know it's not the women's department that you'd be necessarily interested in, but what does it kind of make you feel good that you know that when you do go to university that there's going to be these types of support networks there for you?
Yeah, I think that's really, it's really great, and I'm really looking forward to it. And apparently we get a lounge, so that's fun.
We do. There are couches, and there's also a huge Mac
that you can play on.
Huge Mac.
I'm going to push for that at school.
And also... dishwasher. It's amazing.
Oh, well, if that doesn't motivate you to get to university.
To be gay, yeah.
To be gay, yes. See, I can't participate in this conversation, can I?
No. Come to the women's dishwasher. It'll be great. We have a dishwasher in the women's lounge as well. And a tap that's automatically boiling water.
Wow. You have everything. So we got to wrap up in a couple of minutes or so, but Edith, how many women would come to you on a daily basis into your safe, comfortable, beautiful space?
Well, it fluctuates. So there's always people in the lounge with a book, drinking a cup of tea, because we've got a big book selection. We've also got a separate room with beds, so people go and they take naps in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So instead of the lecture hall, they come to you. Yeah,
there's always someone having a nap. There's always people in the lounge. When we run things, there's normally a pretty good turnout. Sometimes they come and they knock on the office door because they want to have a chat to Sal or I. It's really sort of, it comes in ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I, if people want to hear more about Monash Uni Services for Women, and in fact, others as well, where would they go?
If you go to the monashstudentassociation.com.au, I think it is, but the MSA website, there's a link to the queer department and the women's department, and they'll have all the information on what's happening. There are also Facebook pages that you can look up. For queer and women's.
Okay. And Harry, unprepared maybe. Do you know what the website or where we can refer people if they're interested in the CSAs?
Well, Minus 18 have really good resources on their site. That's the youth organisation for queer youth and things.
Yep. Who are minus18.org.au?
Thank you, Andy.
Of course.
Thank you.
And there are, because it's such a widespread thing, there are definitely lots of things you could find on the internet.
We'll put that on our Facebook, etc. I would like to thank Edith, Andy and Harry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Golf claps. Very nervous, and he excelled. Really lovely to see beautiful young men and young women.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. And slightly a little bit more mature men with having a bright future for the GLBTI community. Thank you to Robbie on the desk and to Matt and my beautiful co-host, Nelson. I do love you more than life itself.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. And up next, we have Spirit Lounge with Joy and Andrew. I'm going to be leaving you with your challenge for the week, which is: what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You have been listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber on Joy 94.9. Good night, everyone.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.